And welcome back to another episode of the Nerdiest Podcast in the Midwest, an episode where we're going to be going a little bit anime here on the Midwestern Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Stoffel, joined as always by my partner in crime,
K.O. Kyle Olson.
We are the Midwestern Nerds. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds Podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can stream and find and listen to our podcast wherever you find podcasts. This week, we're going to be doing something a little bit different than usual. We are taking a step out of the Marvel world. That is right. We are not doing any MCU talks this week. We are not the unofficial Marvel podcast of the Midwest for this week. We are going to be jumping across the pond to some anime. And in order to do that, we had to bring in a special guest this week. This is a guy that I've known for over a year now. I work with him every day. He is one of the biggest anime fans that I know. And he was like, he is actually one of the faithful eight. That is right. We have jumped up two listeners. We are now at a faithful eight listeners. So without further ado, let me introduce our special guest this week, Kyle Sile Crocodile Patterson.
It's Kyle with a C. Glad to have another Kyle in the room. Makes it feel nice and homey.
There's too many of us.
Yes, I'm outnumbered.
It's always interesting when people see me, my name.
I can't read it. I can't read it as Kyle. I have to say this is the first time I've seen Kyle spelt with a C. So there's a first for everything, I guess. But yes, there's a reason I've switched to KO because there's too many damn Kyle. My best friend is named Kyle. You can imagine how confusing I can get. So
yeah, they're always just like Kyle with a C, or they'll say Sile. Sile's the most common one.
Well, that's why you on this podcast are Kyle Sile Crocodile, because Kyle with the C, Sile.
Should we go with Sile then when we're trying to talk to each other then?
Either that or Patterson. And I guess my co-host, I'll just call you KO this week, which will be weird because I don't think I've ever called you KO yet.
Kyle and KO?
I do still have a few friends who are like, no, I'm not calling you KO. That's just weird.
All right. So Kyle Patterson, Kyle Sile, came up to me at work, what was that, a couple months ago at this point, and you were like, hey, I know you're not big into anime, but there's this new anime out on Netflix that's called Cyberpunk. You're like, have you ever heard of it? And I was like, I've heard of the game. And lo and behold, this anime is based off of the video game. We all watched it. It's a 10-episode series on Netflix right now, so we're going to dive in and do some spoiler-free talk at first before we jump into the nitty-gritty, in case some of our listeners here haven't seen this and are piqued by their curiosity of it with our spoiler-free talk and decide to jump back in. We'll give you that opportunity. Before we jump into the anime, has anybody here played the game at all or know anything about the game before jumping into this anime that's based off of this game?
I played a couple hours of that. Pretty interesting game. Actually, there's one of the main bosses in the actual game is featured in the anime.
Oh, so, that's pretty cool.
So if you haven't played the game and just watched the anime, that might be something that'll make you want to jump into the game after seeing it.
The two things that I know about the game are, A, Keanu Reeves is somehow, some way, shape, or form in that game. I don't know if he voices the character, if he's just, or if the character just looks like.
Oh, it's like actually like they like shot, like it's him. Like he actually gets scans for the game.
I could tell you a little bit about it. It's like a little bit of a spoiler, but you see it early on in the game where I feel like it's not that big of a spoiler. So basically your team gets set up to like heist like Militech, which is like a really, or Arasaka, which is a really big corporation. and you know, you're just some like low level thieves, right? So you like get up in this big prestigious place, you steal one of their like highest sought after technology, and everyone in the cyberpunk world is part mechanical, you know, so they all have chip sockets. So basically they had to insert that chip socket that they stole in order for it to not break, because it's like temperature sensitive. So they had to put it into them, and they're like, I don't know what this does, like I'm just gonna throw it in so like it doesn't break, because this was the whole mission. And then so they put it in, and ends up Keanu Reeves like AI like past like soul or whatever is actually on that chip. So like he basically like is in your head. So he's kind of like a ghost figure talking to you and like showing you like some stuff from the past. It's real interesting.
It's almost like to connect it for the comic book listeners, it's almost like Riri Williams in the comics Ironheart, like the Tony Stark AI that kind of talks to her a lot.
Or just thinking about another video game, it sounds a lot like Cortana.
Yeah, you can think of it as like a Cortana, yeah.
And the other thing that I know about the game is that it was super buggy when it first came out, and it turned off a lot of people, and it was like deemed as like one of the biggest failures in video game history or whatever. Kyle, you've played the game. Did you play the game before the anime or only after the anime? And how much changes/improvements have you noticed?
So when the game first launched, I was super excited about it. I actually knew about it like a couple years before like it even got popular. I just was following its development all the way through. And CD Projekt Red, they actually created The Witcher, which was like one of the best games. People say like to date, like The Witcher 3 and some of those other games, but The Witcher 3 is the newest one. Yeah, so you would think a big prestigious company, AAA studio like that, would produce another like fantastic game. And from what I heard, the like main manager was actually like fired or something like that in mid-development. And that caused a bunch of other people to quit. So just think of like someone starting a project and then like a whole new set of people coming in and be like, all right, now finish this. And it has to get finished like this fast. It's like, all right, get 100 panels done in an hour. You know, it's just not going to happen, or it's going to be sloppy, you know?
It kind of reminds me of going back to more recent things and more connected to things that we talk about on here, She-Hulk, and hearing that they were still working on CGI like as the episodes were coming out, like, and one of the biggest complaints about that show is that like the CGI in a lot of spots is not very good, and this kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, so it was just really rushed, and like the it was just really buggy from the start, and it was mainly made for PCs, like higher end equipment. So they're trying to rush at the development, like force higher tier like loads on past gen systems. So when like on next gen consoles and PCs at launch, it was kind of buggy, but not as buggy as the previous gens. It was basically unplayable for the like Xbox One or PS4. And I had it on PC at first, so I was really pumped. I was like, okay, my PC is pretty good. It should be able to run this like really smooth. It was really poorly optimized. I had low frames. I could maybe get 30 FPS, like lower end graphics, like 1080p, like real standard stuff. And like, I was still getting like freezing and all these other bugs. So like after like an hour or two of that, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to step away and wait for the updates to come. And then because I really wanted to enjoy it. So I was like, I'll step away, let them do their thing, fix the game. And then I never really came back to it until I actually was like, oh, Cyberpunk. All right, people are just saying it's pretty good. I played the game, let me watch it. And that made me, after watching Edgerunners, I just had to go back and see what's up.
And it's better now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, previously, like the population of just like the amount of people like just walking around, there was like barely none like at first, but now like there's a bunch of people running around or like just populating like little city or little market that you're running through, or if stuff goes, it starts going down, or like the cops start shooting and there's a shootout, there's just big floods of people like running around, like running away from the gunfire. So it just feels like way more immersive now that you have all that population in there. So it's really nice to see it like come so far.
Well, let's dive into the show. The show is Cyberpunk Edgerunners, and the synopsis of the show is a street kid tries to survive in a technology and body modification obsessed city of the future. With everything to lose, he chooses to stay alive by becoming an Edgerunner, a mercenary outlaw, also known as a cyberpunk. Kyle, we haven't heard a whole lot from you so far yet this episode. Kyle KO. I'm going to struggle this whole time. I'll apologize already. KO, we haven't heard a whole lot from you so far. You had the chance to sit down and watch all 10 episodes of this series. What are your initial spoiler-free thoughts?
Initial thoughts. I really enjoyed this. I honestly had heard a lot of good things after we were told that we should watch this. I brought it up to a few friends and they were like, oh man, I heard that was really good. I was like, okay, that helps the expectations going in. So as soon as I turned it on, I mean, the music is a big part of any anime really. So like the opening music caught me right away. The music that they have, there's one specific song that I've been listening to that's in a few episodes. It's kind of like their main tune. I've just been hooked with that. So that's been absolutely awesome. I'm going to dive into the music a little bit later too, but along with all that, the characters were so, it's very impressive. You hear 10 episodes of something and it's like the first season of something, you kind of think like maybe they can't dive into too many character arcs, or they don't try to introduce you to too many people, or they don't really dive into the nitty gritty of the story right away. This is a full like two or three seasons worth of like character development and storylines that they cram into one, but it's not crammed. It's really like, it's almost dense. Like it is, there's so much to learn and to get acquainted with, but they do it so well. It doesn't feel rushed at all. It's very well done. Like you feel things for the characters. I mean, halfway into the show, like in episode 4 and 5, there's things that just all of a sudden I'm like emotional for these characters. So I was so impressed. I mean, the visuals are awesome. It takes an episode or two to get into them, but once you do and you're used to it, then they look incredible. It's really cool how they depict certain things. I was very, very impressed with the show. Very, very entertained.
Sile, you were the one that brought us onto the show. What were your thoughts going into it the first time? And then now after watching it multiple times?
So from the very beginning, I was asking my wife, I was like, hey, like there's this really cool show, like we should watch it. And you know, she had other plans. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to watch an episode or two without you just to see what's up. And as soon as I watched after the first, second episode, I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm going to watch this all the way through. It's only 10 episodes. So basically every single day at the end of the night, I'd watch a couple episodes and then I finished it within like 2-3 days, and it was really good all the way through. I just, one episode after another, just kept stacking and stacking. The character development from the start to finish is just amazing. I really liked how they like show his progression all the way through it, from just when he was just a little city kid, and then how he was like ranking up throughout all that. I don't want to say like too many spoilers. But then, we watched it a second time with my wife, and I was still just as emotional as I was the first time. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll finally show my hand. I struggled a little bit with the show, I'll be honest. I'm not big into anime. I don't think I ever really was. So jumping into the anime to begin with was a bit of an adjustment. And I'll be honest, I have 2 episodes left. I didn't even finish it. I tried.
Those are the best ones.
But I will say, I was catching up tonight before we started recording. I got 2 episodes left. And the second half, I've been enjoying a lot more than the first half. Like KO said, I got it that time. Like KO said, there's a lot of development within these 10 episodes, and I'm only 8 episodes in, and like it hits hard and heavy those first few episodes. And even at like episode 5, I was like, the thing that I knew and was the most comfortable with were the characters. But as far as like who they're working for, what's their main objectives, what's overall going on other than we're killing a bunch of people, like I had a hard time following like point A to point B of like, okay, like I see this is a bad dude that we're working for, but like what's his ultimate, like what are we doing for him other than like going to a spot and killing people to get data? And like I was having a hard time with that. The character development, I will say, is good. Like I got attached to characters right away, and some characters have a shorter span in the show than others, and some of them were kind of surprising how they left. So like I was attached to those characters in that way, but like overall just following it, I had kind of a hard time. We do a time jump like halfway through, and I found after the time jump like the future stuff to be a little more interesting and a little bit easier to follow. It's weird though, because like I liked the characters from the past more than like the current crew, even though like some of them are like reoccurring and like are from like that first half. So I liked the characters from the past more than the current characters, but like the first half of the show I had a harder time with than the second half. And then maybe it's just me, like, and all of the other kinds of shows that I've watched, but like some of the acting I've found to be a little wooden. Like it definitely felt like character, like actors just reading, like, oh, why do you feel that way? Oh no, why is this going on? And then it got like super over the top, which of course is expected with anime, but like there were some scenes where I was like, why are you just reading this? Like you could be doing a lot more to convey these emotions and things that are going on. So I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I'm very much in the middle of the road with it. But I will say the second half being a little more enjoyable than the first half, I am now more excited to finish it, to finish those last two episodes. Whereas where I was early in the weekend, I was like, ugh, this is like, it felt like a chore. So it gets better, and it's better to the point where I want to finish it. So I'm not like totally shitting on it. I'm trying not to totally shit on it, especially because you two very much enjoyed it. And I'm expecting you guys to jump in now and tell me how I'm wrong, or hold my hand and walk me through some things that I'm struggling with, because a lot of people find it to be really phenomenal, and I'm struggling with that.
Typical Brian being negative. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, obviously, we're gonna spoil some things for you, Brian. Sorry. When we get into the nitty-gritty about it, we're gonna have to talk about the last two episodes. That's for damn sure. I don't think the last two episodes will make you fall in love with it. I think it'll help with your enjoyment, especially if you're enjoying the second half more already. The last two episodes will absolutely like pile onto that. Like there's a lot that goes on in those last five. So yeah, I don't think it'll completely change your opinion on it. Like if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But yeah, I am excited for you to finish it though.
And I've enjoyed the world too. Like the whole, I guess we can start opening up spoilers now, but the whole concept of this is a futuristic city where people are basically enhancing themselves with mechanical body parts to become not quite superpowers, but some aspects feel very superhero-ish, especially with our main character, David. And upgrading too much can be a bad thing. And I like that whole concept is very interesting. And the fact that like a lot of these people are like mercenary assassins, like it's kind of interesting. And I think one of the things that I also struggled with is like we're upgrading and we're killing a bunch of people to get money, but like what's our main end game? Like I know Lucy, I think, the main girl that David's into. Like, she wants to get out of the city. She wants to go up to the moon. Like her end game is very clear. But everybody else, I'm like, what are you getting out of this? Like, other than money, what's the next step afterwards? And I feel like even in our main character, David, the point of the show that I'm at now, he's even struggling with that. Cause he's like, my mom wanted one thing. Maine wanted one thing from me. And I haven't been able to do either of those things. And that's as far as I know. But it's like, I thought you were maybe going to try to go up to the moon with your lady, Lucy. But like the episode I ended with, like they were like breaking up, but not breaking up. And then the cliffhanger, which I'm going to spoil a little bit. Lucy gets betrayed. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, where I was like, oh, like I kind of wanted to keep watching this, but Kyle's like, I sent the invite, and I was like, shit, I gotta go.
Time to record. Yeah, it gets pretty intense after.
Sile, you're holding back on me. I feel like you're busting to say a bunch, so jump on in.
So I feel like that's kind of the thing about the anime, is that like a lot of people in that city don't really know what they want. You know, they just kind of get blinded by like power and money and greed. So like at some point, so much greed will bite you in the butt at the end of the day. And that's kind of what happened. Once you watch the last two episodes, kind of shows you what so much like power and greed will do to you, and like how far of an extent you'll go to get that next big paycheck.
I think we just got to rip the bandaid off at this point. David dies.
I mean, he's definitely, because the other thing is you upgrade so much, you get cyber psychosis. Yep. And he's definitely been showing signs since the time jump, when like all of a sudden, oh, he's like as big as Maine was. And like, he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And then like the end of that episode of the time jump, he's like starting to shake, and it's like, oh yeah, you're getting it. Like, I don't think you're gonna get out of this.
what I love about his handshaking is that's the same hand that Maine had too. And it's like that Maine's basically his anxiety carried into the same hand, where it was like, yeah, I thought that was a very cool touch. No, it basically is like it's greed, but it's also it's like an addiction. Like, it's almost like a long thing on drugs. Like, if you get a taste of it and you just keep going, and then there's not really an end in sight. It's just more and more and more enhancements until it ultimately bites you in the ass. Like, it ends basically in summation. He gets the ultimate upgrade, where he actually does become more machine than man. And his ultimate goals are for... His mom wants him to be at the top of the building, right? She wants him to be... I can't remember the company's name now.
Arasaka.
Arasaka, that's it. Yeah, she wants him to be at the top of the building. Whether it's... I mean, she wants him to work his way up and be working at the top of the building, right? But towards the end of the fight sequence, he is absolutely standing on top of that, like, almost triumphant in the moment, but there's still more of the fight to go. And then part of... I mean, the thing that he wanted to do in Maine's honor was to keep fighting and to protect everyone and to have that camaraderie in the group. And he ultimately does that because he makes the sacrifice, and he doesn't make it out of the fight, but he gets everyone else out of the fight. So he ultimately does live his dream. It's just not necessarily, it's not the dream that Lucy wanted either. Cause Lucy, all Lucy wanted was for him to be safe. But because he made that sacrifice play, Lucy did get to live her dream, and she did end up getting to go to the moon, which was it was the last shot where she kind of sneaks away from the touristy group, and she goes to like this untouched part of the moon that they haven't colonized yet, basically. And she's just staring off into the distance. And then she sees like a flashback of pre-enhanced David. And it's like that same thing that they saw in the VR world, but she was actually there. And like, he was still actually kind of with her. So it was like all the storylines throughout, almost like they did just such a good job with that character and with the development and the goals and what everyone wanted for him, what he wanted for himself, ultimately just coming together. It was so cool.
So a little thing I heard about that little scene you talked about where Lucy saw David before he was pre-enhanced, they say that with their like technology, that anything they see is basically like a recorded memory. So when she finally got up there to the moon, she went to the same spot. She was with that and like replayed that memory in her head. So she's like, oh, like David's with me. But like she can just like pre-play like all those memories with David whenever she wants in the brain dance, I think it's called. So it's a little fun Easter egg, like cyber techie type of thing that you could think about like in the future, like, oh, I could have all these pre-recorded memories of my loved ones and stuff, like even if they are past. Could be the way we're headed with like such high advancements in technology. It's like kind of fun to think about and seeing it play out in this type of society, because you see like the giant corporations take over like Google, Amazon, it's like those, but like big military companies overtaking everything, and just like how big of a like difference there is between wealth and like poor people, and just like how they just like still live like side by side like that, even though it's like such a dramatic difference.
Yeah, there's a lot of allegories in this show and a lot of warnings of possible futures to come. Since we're full spoilers now, the one thing that made me the angriest about this show, I'm just going to get it out of the way right away.
Mm-hmm.
Long finger dude with the gold hands. He was like, initially, I was like, you're annoying. But then he grew on me. And then he gets killed by a fucking pissing hobo that's got cyber psychosis. I was like, are you kidding me? I'm finally starting to like you, and you got killed by a pissing hobo. Like, I get that it's like, it's sending the message that anything can happen. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was like, that's the way you go. You get your head blown off by a pissing hobo.
Like you mentioned, it's sending that message to the audience, like that anyone can die at any point in this story, and it can come from fucking anywhere. Like, this guy was just messing with a hobo, just so happened to be pissing in their direction, and he got angry at it and got fucking shot in the head for it. Like, it was, yeah, I thought it was a great way to establish something pretty relatively early on. I think it was about four episodes in, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it was four episodes. The action in the show is really good, though. I'll give it that. It's gory and it's brutal. Like, if you got a weak stomach, this might not be the one for you. It shows people's like faces getting blown off and like just bits of their head like still like hanging and twitching on their necks, and there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of guts. The one like the coolest scene that I've seen so far, I think it was episode 6 or 7. I think it was 6, because it was the first episode after the time jump. And David's going, like, they're in some building, they're fighting a bunch of people, and David's going up against that big dude with the hammer. And he's like, oh, I can easily take you. And the guy's moving just as fast as him. And it's like slow-mo how they're like fighting at first, and then David gets the upper hand and ultimately takes him down. And then it plays it back in real time. And I thought that was awesome. Like, the slow-mo, I was like, okay, like, this is an anime thing, I get it. But the playback, I was like, okay, that was pretty fucking cool.
It's something I wish they would do, and maybe they can do it with the upcoming Flash movie or something. Like, as a fan of the Flash on CW, like, it's something I wish they would do more, is they obviously show all that slow-mo and him making the reactions and his thoughts in the moment. But, like, if you do an awesome scene like that, and you get to play what happens, because obviously it's happening at supersonic speed, but then if you show it in real time too, it enhances the experience, because like you actually get to see. Because if you're just watching in slow motion, you're sitting there like, okay, yeah, I get it, it's fast. But then you actually see it happen, it's like, holy shit, that was a blink of an eye type of thing. Like, it's a very cool way to show that.
KO, since we talked about this or mentioned it last week, all I'll say is, just wait until Days of Future Past.
Oh, that's right. I haven't started my X-Men watch yet.
You might get a little taste of what you're asking for.
Fine by me.
Anything else that we want to talk about? Spoilers of the show. Any cool scenes that you guys want to talk about or dive more into, or things that you liked or didn't like?
First off, who do you guys think would have been a better girlfriend for David? All right, so Lucy's super hyped up, okay? But, you know, she was, like, distant the whole time, you know, was, like, kind of, like, ditchy on David a lot. But Rebecca was always down and by his side even till the very end. So, spoiler alert for you, Brian. the main villain that David has to verse at the very end is Adam Smasher, and he
not the same guy from DC.
No. So he is basically Arasaka's like secret weapon. So he's like a fully decked out super big basically mech suit guy.
Fully cybernetic, but like, no, literally, I think only maybe the brainwaves left. Like, it's
I think they teased him in episode 8 because I think I saw them talk about him like in that last episode I was watching.
Yeah, Adam Smasher lives by the name and absolutely smashes Rebecca. Just they kind of linger on her afterwards.
So Adam Smasher is actually the villain that is in the video game. So you're in Arasaka Tower, like sneaking around like the presidential suites and stuff like that, and you actually see the Arasaka, spoiler alert for the game, you see the Arasaka's like CEO, really really old Asian guy, comes flying in on a helicopter penthouse meeting with his son, and his son actually kills his dad so that he could become the new CEO. And Adam Smasher's there and everything, and like it's just such a very like fun point in the game that really gets you like into it. So you're like, oh no, like what's gonna happen now? I still have to finish the game. I haven't had a lot of time to finish it with school and getting married and stuff, but I do want to finish that. And MW2 just came out, so been playing that a lot. But I do want to get back to that.
To get back to your question about who's better for David, I lean more towards Lucy. Only because it seems like Rebecca is more of a physical attraction, and obviously they're close and they're running mates and everything, but like there's a deeper understanding that Lucy has for David, and like she knows him, and that's why she's so distant at times, is because she literally says at one point that you're the guy that's going to run into danger to save someone. No matter what happens to you, or however she says it, but like she knows that, like she knows that he's probably not in it for the long haul. So there's that attraction that keeps them together, but there's the understanding of the person that keeps that distance. But she's right there with him, you know, until she gets turned on. They use her to turn on David to kind of trick him into getting into the suit that I can't remember the name of, but I get the Rebecca thing, because there was a time where in the show I think Lucy was extremely distant, and I really thought they were going to play an angle where he ends up hooking with Rebecca, and I was like, I was preemptively like mad at David for it. Like I was like, come on, don't do this, man, don't do it. Like I they got me with it for sure. I think it was it's always good in that kind of story to have that person who's so strong in the physical attraction, and she's always looking at different angles to approach him and stuff. It was a good character to have in there for sure.
I just thought I'd throw that out there, because I know that's like a big big thing in the community that people argue about.
Oh, I'm sure there's Rebecca stands out there.
Gonna say I'll answer your question too. 110% Lucy, because Becca is more or less like that physical fun fling, and then like you have your fun with her, and then like there's no like deep connection. And I don't know about you guys, but I found her annoying like the majority of the time. There was one scene that I've seen so far where she like they're walking down the street and she stops and she's like, yo, what's going on? Like, we've been working together for a long time. Like, I know something's up. You're acting differently. You're being all weird. Like, open up to me. You can trust me, because you have to trust me in this line of work. but you can also trust me because I feel like we got something more going on. That was probably the point, Kyle, where you were starting to preemptively hate David because you thought that something was going to happen there. That was like the one time where I was like, okay, like you could be something decent. But everything before that, I was just like, you are so annoying. You are so annoying.
It just made me remember a scene too in the last episode where he is strongly into the cyberpsychosis at this point, right? And they're running away from like the military chasing them down after stealing the suit, but they're trying to go after Faraday, which we are absolutely going to get into Faraday in a second here. But because he's having so many visions, right? Because of the psychosis, like Rebecca's trying to talk to him, but he talks to Rebecca and all he sees is his mom. And I can't remember what he says, but like she says, the mom says something to him and he talks back. And it was such like a cool moment because there absolutely was like obviously a relationship there, but it was always almost strictly professional. And like, yeah, there was trust and there had to be trust and there had to be that connection, but there was never actually, it was almost like perfectly symbolic that they used her, that he was seeing his mom, not like he saw her as his mom or anything, but like just the platonic relationship almost. I thought that was super cool. I thought that was like one of the best scenes.
Yeah, that scene, they're driving down a highway on their way to Arasaka Capital or whatever their main building, and the whole military is chasing after them, and it flashes back to a scene of David and his mom. David's mom's driving him home from school at Arasaka Academy. So they're like looking, and that's when she said, like, I want you to like work, like be at Arasaka at the top. And that's what he does flash back to when he is on top of Arasaka building, hunting Lucy and Adam Smasher down. So he like is at the top and he's like, oh, mom, I finally made it. Like, aren't you so proud of me? Like, I'm finally like making it to Arasaka and stuff like that. So like, you can like kind of see his priorities, but like, obviously, you know, he had those priorities too late because he's on the verge of like killing himself basically. And if he would have had that same kind of mindset, like when he was in the academy, a lot of stuff could have turned out differently.
I'm glad they do those flashbacks because KO, when you were talking about that earlier, I was like, I don't even remember that conversation. Like and since we're in full spoiler mode, I remember mm-hmm. him talking to his mom a few times in the beginning, first episode. And then I remember they were talking about something in the car when she gets fucking blown away. And that was like as much of that as I remember. And so when you were like, yeah, his mom talked about how she wanted him to be at the, like the top of that thing. And I was like, when did that happen? Cause I don't remember. But again,
that was right before she blew up.
I struggled a lot with how dense of like world building and like just information was thrown at us right away in the beginning. And even like some of like the plot points of like what we're doing on these missions from point A to point B, like sometimes, and maybe that's how animes are. Like, again, I don't watch a whole lot of anime, so I don't fully know how it goes in that, but this I found a lot of times I was like, I don't even know what's going on other than like some cool actions going on of like we're killing people and we're trying to get data for something and somebody for some reason or another. KO, you mentioned Faraday. Let's talk about him because the voice actor is a big guy. Giancarlo Esposito, infamously known from his role in Breaking Bad, and now he's showing up in everything from The Boys to The Mandalorian to now cyberpunk anime. He's like the one big star of this show as far as like celebrity actor goes. Maybe it's different for the anime world, but he's the one voice where I was like, I know that guy. And so he's got a cool look to him. He's got four eyes. He's got the two normal eyes, and then he's got two more eyes going down one of his cheeks. So he's got a very interesting design concept to him. Giancarlo Esposito always has like a presence to all of his characters. And while I didn't fully follow the character all the way through, I always knew that like this guy is intimidating. He means business and you don't fuck around with this guy because otherwise you'll regret it. So casting wise, I think they did a great job to convey those aspects of that character.
Giancarlo Esposito always ends up being the bad guy, and he's phenomenal at it. There's a reason he's always cast in that role. Like, he's always got something up his sleeve. He's always a step ahead of people. He's always like that. That's just how he is able to portray characters, and that's how he gets casted into it. And I'm here for it. I mean, he was in Far Cry 6. He was in The Boys. Like, he's in just especially for me, who was just recently watching The Boys. Like, as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, oh my God, that sounds extremely familiar. So in typical KO fashion, I have to go on IMDb and, oh my God, yep, that's him. And that's when I text you, Brian. I was like, oh my God, Giancarlo Esposito. And you're like, oh, okay. I like to imagine that's what that was the final push. Like, okay, now I need to start this. Yeah, the character is so good. I mean, like you said, it was the big casting that you need, like, especially because this was the anime that you put on Netflix that you're trying to get out into, like, from what I understand too, in the anime world, like, this was like a big thing as far as like new animes. Like, this is really like something that a lot of people were almost passionate about, especially after it came out. Like, this is what anime needs to be going forward. This is a big stepping stone. So the fact that they were able to at least get one big voice actor that like the mainstream audience knows, and if you can market that, like saying, hey, Giancarlo Esposito is in this. Come and you know, he's going to give a good performance. Come and watch it and get into this world. I think it was such a good idea. Like, the character's so good. Obviously, like I said, ends up turning on the guys, of course, and he's the one who he ultimately forces uses Lucy to make David put the suit on. He's the one who gets Kiwi to turn on the group. Like, there's just all this. He obviously has his goal, I believe, to just take over everything. Like, he is the one, like, he wanted, I think Adam Smasher was supposed to be the one in the suit that David put on, but ultimately, like, I think the line was, if he doesn't get to use it, it's fitting that he gets to destroy it, type of thing. So, like, yeah, everything about Faraday from the first episode is like, okay, I know what your character is going to be about, but I'm excited to see the road that we go on. And he's just, especially because he does disappear, especially after the main death. The character named Main. That's confusing.
After the state.
Right. Yeah.
Main the state.
After he dies, it is almost like he disappears and he's not even in it for a little bit when we do that time jump, but then he reappears and it's almost okay. That we're getting back to this story. Like, yeah, I loved everything about Faraday.
I like how they brought Faraday back in, because it kind of showed you, like, even though there was that like big time jump, it kind of showed you how far David has like progressed as like a cyberpunk, and the line of work like isn't just stealing those little chips out of people's sockets anymore. It's like actual like big contract like work with like military and like all these high end people, and it just kind of shows you like, oh, like, I used to be scared of holding a gun, but now I like run this whole crew by myself now. Like, successfully, like, better than Maine did. So I like how it kind of shows you like that type of thing when Faraday comes back into play.
I'll jump to KO first. Seeing this show, these 10 episodes, in your opinion, where do we go next with Cyberpunk, with the anime, based off of your no knowledge of the video game?
Yeah.
And mostly just knowledge of these 10 episodes. This is a big hit, and this game is a pretty big game now. I mean, it was initially, then it had the drop off. Now this anime's brought it back up, and this anime, I feel like, is popular enough where you're gonna get more cyberpunk anime in some way, shape, or form. Whether they spin it off into a different series, it's no longer Edgerunners, it's Cyberpunk colon something else. Watching these 10 episodes, KO, where would you think that they should go next?
To me, this show feels like it needs to be, like, the next season almost needs to be a new cast of characters. Like, I know one of your complaints is, like, that there's so much going on and that it's kind of hard to follow at the beginning. Like, but I think the best way, because if you try to do anything with this same group, with these same characters, you start to... If you run into any walls in writing, You want to bring back Lucy, even though she had a great arc and she ended up, you know, getting to where she wanted to go. You end up wanting to bring back David. Like, there's a world, it's the cyber world. There's a way that you can bring him back. Like that, and that's just the unfortunate trope that you could run into. And I don't think the other characters are necessarily interesting enough or deep enough to really set as that main group, unless you have a new focal point that joins the group. But then then you just draw comparisons to David, and then you're kind of hurting yourself. I feel like the best way to go, if you're going to do a season two, is stay in this world, stay in this amazing world that it was created by the game and then adapted into the show. Like, you have just this literally endless possibilities in this world where you can just go in, and you can either do it during the same time, after the time, you can go before, you can literally do it whenever you want. Just a different group of cyberpunks with different arcs. Maybe you go less gory, maybe you go more gory, who knows? But I just think slightly tweaking it and slightly going to a different group is probably the best bet.
Patterson, you've played the game, you've watched the show, you've got a little bit more knowledge in the whole lore of it all than we do. Where would you go going forward in the anime world?
I actually heard that they weren't going to be making a season two, and it was just kind of a one and done deal. But something interesting that this anime did was it got a bunch of like highly rated people, like animators from Japan. And it was like a Japan, like American, like crossover. And you usually don't see a lot of that. Usually it's like strictly Japan or like an American studio working on like the certain anime. But in this case, they actually like had a crossover and it was really successful. So people are anticipating like a lot more crossover. So you might see a lot more of this type of like cooperation. So in the future for different animes. So should be pretty interesting in a couple of years to see what comes out. But for cyberpunk, I think it's probably the end, you know, just like one and done deal, you know, quick and sweet. You don't want to like overdo it and try and like force out a whole nother series. And then like it flops and then its reputation gets like, you know, they just dug out of the ground from where they were. They don't want to put another bad taste in people's mouths that soon. So I think it'd be good with just the one and done. I feel like they wrapped it up pretty good, and you can play the real game and end up killing Adam Smasher at the end, so you can have your revenge. But I did hear they're going to be making a second cyberpunk like video game, so it should be interesting how they do that, because in the current game, like, you know how you can get all these body like modifications and stuff like that, but like in the game your character really never gets like really built and like looking really like cybery, you know, like how Adam Smasher looks. I think it'd be cool in the second game if like the more you upgraded, like the more unhuman you look, because by the end, like, you can do all this like cool stuff, but you still like basically look like, you know, a like semi tricked out cyberpunk.
I was gonna say you could even add in what the anime did with the cyber psychosis,
yeah,
where you're more powerful, but at the same time you have a harder time controlling your character in the game because of all these upgrades.
Right, like oh, I have all these upgrades, but like when I aim down my sight like with a gun, like I'm like really shaky or like something like that, and like that means like I'm mainly like a melee, like up close type of like character or something like that, you know, because you're a tanky character, you can take more damage, but you can't use long range weapons, you know. Find that happy medium, make it more interesting with like more classes.
Even if the psychosis is part of not necessarily part of the gameplay, but becomes part of the story, where you start to have flashbacks, where you start to see things that you may not be actually seeing, like that could be a really cool story element.
Yeah, in the game. Because the only thing they really have about cyber psychosis in the video game is just they're basically mini bosses scattered around the map, and it's like, oh, there's a cyber psychosis incident going on like over here, and like you'll like walk into this back alley and you see a bunch of like dead police like laying on the ground or like running away, and like you'll like walk in on them like just like killing someone, and then you're like, oh, now I gotta versus this dude with a sand devastan, because they actually have the Sand Devastan in the video game. So you could, a lot of people are making like David Martinez builds where like you're just running through a place and just like clearing them out, just running super fast, getting all the headshots, get your loot, get out. It's pretty fun.
I got two more questions. One for Patterson, one for KO before we do final thoughts. I'll start with you, Patterson. You mentioned Atom Smasher. Is there anything else from the anime that shows up in the video game? Or is there anything else from the video game that you wish you could have maybe seen in the anime?
So in the video game, I forgot what the name of that, you know, that underground facility they met Faraday at, like that like real back alley bar. So they actually have that in the video game. So that's kind of like a meet out spot where you like meet like mercs and like do contracts with them and stuff. And at the bar, they name drinks after like famous like cyberpunks or like people. And in the video game, there's actually a drink called the David Martinez.
Nice.
So it's like in remembrance of him. And if you actually go by Arasaka Tower, you can actually find Rebecca's shotgun in like a bush, like where Atom Smasher like would have killed her.
Nice.
So, yeah. So it's kind of, they have like little Easter eggs like that in there. And then I think you can also buy Lucy's apartment. So, and like, you know, when David and Lucy had the really big apartment where you saw him like downstairs watching TV, couldn't sleep, you know,
yeah,
he's like tweaking out. You can actually get that apartment too. So it's like cool that you can like actually go to those places. And I think you can actually get Kiwi's apartment as well. Oh, so nice. There's a lot of the places that you see in the anime are actually like point of interest and places in the video game. So it's kind of cool when you are playing the video game, you're like, oh, like this is that like outside gas station outside the city where Faraday betrayed Kiwi and shot her and killed her. Spoiler. Yeah, there's just like a lot of like little places like that that you would just notice from the anime. And it was really cool to like kind of see that. And they had they have David and Lucy's song playing all the time. And I know KO has a
great song,
special place in his heart with that song.
I also I don't know if it's the same song or not, but the opening song, I like that it's by Franz Ferdinand. they had the Take Me Out song back in like the early 2000s, and I had a couple of their albums because that song I really liked, and I found a couple of their albums back in the day before Spotify for a cheap price. So I bought a couple of the CDs, and it was kind of fun to like be like, oh dang. Because before it even shows up in the credits, I was like, this sounds like Franz Ferdinand. Is that who this is? And then big letters towards the end of the credits, theme song by Franz Ferdinand. I was like, yes, that's awesome. So definitely love that. And the David and Lucy song, I probably know it, but like at this point, like it escapes my brain. But I'll take KO's word for it that it's a really good song. So that's cool that it shows up in the game and all that other stuff too.
So you'll just be like, you know, mind your business, and then you hear that song and then you just like break down. You'll know after the 10th episode.
Yeah,
it'll be your next song you're playing nonstop, like while you're doing end blocks. You're just gonna be in your fields just going at her.
Yep.
And then the second part of my question, was there anything that you've seen in the game so far that wasn't in the anime that you were like, oh dang, that would have been cool if that could have shown up somehow in the show?
I feel like they actually did a really good job with getting everything that's in the video game in the anime, because there's a lot of like cool weapons that are in the game that you like low-key see people use in the anime. So there's like these pistols in the video game where if you get like a certain upgrade for your character, it'll allow you to like target enemies and like basically wanted shoot people around corners and like do headshots and stuff like that. So you see a lot of like high-tech stuff like that in the anime. And I don't know, I feel like they did a pretty good job like branching off and like bringing it all together with the anime and game.
If anybody is curious, if you've played the game, you watch the anime, and you're like, I love this world, I really wish that we had more of it. To tie it into the nerd in Midwestern Nerds fashion, there is a way where you can get more. From Dark Horse Comics, there is a Cyberpunk series, Cyberpunk 2077. I'm on Amazon right now, and they've got quite a few of like the trade paperbacks out already for this. Like Trauma Team, Where's Drama, Big City Dreams, Your Voice, You Have My Word, all of these things. There's a lot of Cyberpunk comics. So if from Dark Horse, which they're one of the better indie comics out there. So if you want more Cyberpunk and you're like, I don't know if there's a way where I can get more other than the show and the game, lo and behold, there's the wonderful world of comics. Final thoughts on this series.
Final thoughts. I really enjoyed it. Like, this is honestly only the second anime that I've really watched, I mean, start to finish. Obviously, my favorite and my one and only My Hero Academia is still technically going. But I've seen everything that's out dubbed. I can't do subbed. I'm sorry. I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but I just can't do subbed. I can't read and focus at the same time. It's just not reading is not my strength. So I absolutely have to listen to it and watch everything going on. But from start to finish, I mean, obviously it's great. I really enjoyed it. I love that I'm diving more into this world. A lot of my friends are in this world. Next things that I'm probably going to be watching are going to be things like Demon Slayer, Attack on Titan. Those are the big two. It'll probably take a fat minute for me to ever get to Naruto or like Dragon Ball Z or anything like that, only because I know how long they are. And that's a lot of dedication, but eventually I will get to it because I remember watching, like, you know, fucking like Cartoon Network when I was a kid, and all of a sudden, like, you know, it's getting late because you start seeing commercials for Naruto. So eventually I will get to that kind of stuff because I'm really loving my deep dive into this world. I just wanted my final thought about the show in general. I mentioned the music at the beginning and how, I mean, I'm addicted to this song. The opening credit is amazing. I just, any music that they have in the show, they almost, the way that they put the music into the show, and they almost create like a music video for the scenes that they have, whether it's a fight scene or just a conversation, like the way that they use it into the world. Like one of my favorite directors is James Gunn, and the way that he uses music in his movies, like it struck me a lot that anytime that there was music, it was very pointed in the emotion in the scene or what's happening in the scene, and it almost fit with everything that was going on. I thought it was really well done. Like one of my favorite general things about the whole show.
I forgot to ask you, KO. My question for you was going to be, now that you've watched the show, do you have any interest in diving into the video game?
Oh, absolutely. I'm also one of those people who I don't have the attention span to play a single player like story-based game by myself, but I really like to watch other people play it. Like I very much love Twitch streams and just YouTube playthroughs. So absolutely, especially if one of my main people that I watch, if one of them have played it, which I'm pretty sure they have, I'm definitely going to go check it out because now I just love this world and now I can almost have an understanding of it too. So definitely.
Patterson over here is pointing at him. He's a big time gamer, competitions and all, like full on gamer. So I'm sure you can plug your stuff towards the end of the episode. And I'm sure that KO over here will check it out as well.
I call myself a gamer, but I just play Madden and Fortnite. So like,
hey, a game's a game.
Exactly. Undertale's my favorite of all time, though. Undertale, goated. Almost lost to Witcher 3 for Game of the Year that year. I hold a grudge.
I still never finished The Witcher 3.
All right, Patterson, your overall thoughts.
My overall thoughts, I loved it from beginning to end. I got hooked right away. A lot of people won't admit this when they watch it, but I shed a tear, not going to lie. You know, it hits you in your feels pretty hard. And then... I don't know. I just really liked how it came out of nowhere, and it's only 10 episodes, so it's like quick and sweet. It's not like a commitment. It's a fun like weekend watch if like you're bored, you don't really know what to watch. You could throw that on, finish it in a day or two. Yeah, I just like how quick and sweet it was, because like it's not really a commitment.
My general thoughts, I mentioned how it was a bit shaky for like the first half of it for me. I've really been enjoying the second half. I'm not fully through it, but I will say this conversation that we've all had about it makes me anxious to jump back into it and finish it, and maybe even go back and see if I appreciate the first half a little bit more with the second viewing, having more of an understanding and a knowledge of all the things that are going on that we've talked about in this, and hopefully get more of an appreciation out of it. Before we wrap up our episodes, we got to jump into our favorite segment on the Midwestern Nerds podcast, the best stuff recommendations of the week, the segment where we all take one thing, two things, however many things that we have either watched, read, seen, heard, experienced lately that we feel like is worth mentioning, worth plugging, worth recommending to you, the audience, that maybe you just haven't had the chance to check out, or you're just not aware of it. We want to put it out into your peripherals. We want to get it into your psyche. We want you to know about it. I'll start it off with something that I was very excited about last week, that I'm still excited about. My all-time favorite band, 4 Years Strong, re-recorded and re-released arguably their best album, Enemy of the World, and they dropped two bonus tracks onto that album. And this was an album that I felt like was perfect, like didn't need to be touched at all. I get why they re-recorded and re-released it now, listening back through it again, because A, their original recording studio that they recorded the album with, there's been a lot of like legal rights issues with it, and there was one printing of the album physically on CD and on vinyl, and then after that, like, they haven't been able to really do anything with it other than play it at their live shows. So a lot of fans that are big into vinyl recently, or just CDs, like, haven't had the chance to get a hold of it physically because like it's just been out of print for so long. So now those people can get their hands on it again. And like I said, it's an album that I felt like didn't need to be touched, but listening to it, the re-recording of it, it's phenomenal. It made me realize how small they were when they recorded this album initially. The sound quality isn't always the greatest. There were lyrics that I've been singing wrong for years that now that they've re-recorded it, I'm like, oh, that's what they're saying there? I thought they were saying this instead. So like, there's that aspect of it. There's like guitar riffs and instrumentals that they've either added since the first recording or that are more prominent now since their initial release of this album that now stand out to me. And the thing about this band is they have two lead singers that oftentimes like hand off the lyrics, like one will sing one line, then the other will sing the other line, and they'll harmonize. And back in the day, the harmony didn't always hit. It was like, I see what you're going for there, but you haven't reached that level yet where you can hit it just right, where it sounds a little off. They're reaching the point now where they're like peak. So like re-recording this album and releasing it now, it's like, yes, that is how that should have sounded initially. And now it sounds absolutely phenomenal. It sounds absolutely great. The two new songs are bangers as well. I encourage not just the audience, but I encourage both Kyles on this podcast now, go out, 4 Years Strong, Enemy of the World. It's the re-recorded version. Just go on their Spotify. It's going to be the latest release. It's a banger of an album. They are a punk band from Massachusetts. Their lyrics very much resonate with like being the underdogs, like trying to make it, you know, stick it to the man. Their song titles on this album are phenomenal as well. The opening track is "It Must Suck to Be 4 Years Strong Right Now." Other things like "Flannel Is the Color of My Energy." "What the Hell Is a Gigawatt" is an absolutely. That's one of the best songs on the track. The chorus line of that song is the message of the chorus line of that song is, "I can't go and do this thing that you want me to do, not because I'm busy, it's because I don't want to." It's basically like the message of that chorus line. It's a phenomenal song. It's a phenomenal album. Like, announced this release at the beginning of October. So it only a couple weeks that I had to wait for this thing that I didn't even know was going to be a thing. I've listened to it nonstop. It's phenomenal. I am so happy that it exists, and I just want everybody to go out and give it a try, because I know I've tried to introduce this album to people in the past, and some of like the, especially the harmonizing, where it doesn't always hit. Sometimes it's rubbed people the wrong way. Now that it's been updated and improved, I feel like people will really get the experience that they need from it. So I highly recommend this to the audience, to everybody on this podcast right now, everybody in the world, check it out. It's my all-time favorite band. At least do that for me. Give it a try.
It's added to my library.
Excellent.
Give me something to listen to tomorrow.
KO, you got anything for us this week?
I'm going to do a repeat just because it feels so damn fitting for this episode. I mentioned it earlier, but for anyone who wants to get into the world of anime and you're a superhero fan, there's an easy way to do it. There's a really good one called My Hero Academia. Go watch it. All everything's on Hulu, subbed and dubbed. There's 4 seasons. They're currently season 5 is currently getting to America right now. The subbed versions are starting to hit Hulu as we speak, so I'll probably have to wait another 3 or 4 months. Showing a pop figure. Yes, Katsuki Bakugo. I got a Miro Togeta back here too. A couple on pre-order that I'm waiting as well. It's awesome. It's literally about a superhero high school and how people get into, how superheroes make a living, how they're able to make this a job and a career, and how they're trained, brought up. Like, it's very interesting. It almost progresses pretty quickly, but in season 4, they're only still in the middle of their sophomore year at high school. So like the quick progression is almost brought up in story too. So it's very well done. I love the writing. I love the all the characters are just awesome. Even if there are a few that you don't like, you're almost supposed to not like them. Yeah, I love everything about it. The rise and falls of like the number one. There's a ranking system for the heroes. Like, yeah, it's just, it's everything that you want for like hero stuff, but it's in the anime style. So it's just so interesting. Definitely go out and check it out.
Last but certainly not least, our guest of honor, Kyle Sile Crocodile Patterson. Got anything for us that you want to best stop for us this week?
I would say if you are getting into anime, I feel like My Hero Academia is also a very good choice. I only really watched a couple animes all the way through, and My Hero Academia was definitely one of my first ones. It was Naruto, and then I watched My Hero Academia, and those, like, then I started branching off, and I watched a little bit of Hunter x Hunter. These will be honorable mentions because I've watched them and I liked them. So I've watched Demon Slayer up until I think the 3rd season or whatever after the train movie. I watched up until that. I really like the animation style and how quickly they progress, like with Tanjiro's like training and everything. You see his character development pretty fast. Another honorable mention. If you want to get more, like, I feel like this one, like, you have to be a little bit more into anime just because it's a little bit more gory and stuff. So that would be Attack on Titan. I recently finished that with my wife, and we really enjoyed that. It's a little pretty gory, not gonna lie, but every episode, there's no filler. It's every episode is like compact with like all good content all the way through up until the end. But my number one pick. How could I forget? You can never go wrong with Naruto. So Naruto, you see them literally grow from little kids up until they're adults with kids. So if you get really into it, just know it, there's like that big of a time jump. So it starts with just a regular Naruto. And then when you get into Naruto Shippuden, there's like a, I think a 3 or 4 year time jump in between like normal Naruto and Shippuden. In Shippuden, they're like 17, 18 years old. So you see them like start from like just becoming a little immature teenager. And then you see them as like basically young adults that are like super serious, super skillful. And it's just a really good anime. I even got my wife into it and she hated anime. And I actually was a big hater of anime in high school. I was like, I'm not watching anime. But then my buddies were like, hey, watch Naruto. So I finally came around to it. And I don't regret it.
What's the basic premise of the show? Myself included, and probably KO here, that know the name Naruto, but know nothing about the show other than it's a kid with yellow, blonde, spiky hair and an orange sweatshirt.
So Naruto is basically a show about ninjas, to keep it simple. But these ninjas, they have special jutsus, which you could say are like their superpowers. So they have to do specific like hand signs, and then they're able to do those specific jutsus. And Naruto, when he was younger, Hokage, which is basically the president of the village, he like sacrificed himself so that he could seal this big giant demon spirit called the Nine-Tails Fox. He sealed that demon inside Naruto to prevent it from attacking and destroying their village. So when Naruto starts growing up, he's just known as like the demon child, like, oh, like that kid has that like fox in him, like that fox is gonna come out at any moment and kill us all, you know. So like everyone basically like shuns him, and he doesn't know why, because they all made a pact to not tell him. So this whole time when he's growing up, he just thinks everyone hates him and he's an outcast. But you can see his passion in the background, that he just really wants to be like noticed by everyone. So he, instead of like going the opposite route and being like, oh, I'm an outcast, no one likes me, he could have easily became a villain. But he actually turned that around and turned that into motivation. And he turned into like, oh, I'm gonna try even harder to prove them, or yeah, to prove them wrong. You know, so it's just like a really good show to like just see how like his progression as like a young child into like a full-on adult who's like super responsible and like very skillful, and like everyone respects him. And like it's just super fun seeing like that whole entire journey happen. But one thing, if you are going to watch it, look up a website. I don't know what specific website, I'm sure anyone works, but look up a website where you can skip all their fillers, because when they're creating the anime, they're also writing the manga. But at some points, they're creating the TV show faster than the manga was writing stuff. So then they kind of just made like a bunch of random fillers. Like at one point, there'll be like, that's the one thing about Naruto that's like, I would say like bad, is there's just a bunch of random fillers, because like there'll just be like an intense like battle, and then like in between the battle, there'll be like a random filler episode about them versing like ninja chefs. So then they got to beat the ninja chefs in a competition to get their favorite ramen chef's like daughter back. So there's like a bunch of like random stuff like that where you're like, what is going on here? But if you do look up the episodes to watch, it cuts it down in half. So that would be my recommendation.
I think Kyle touched on a good point there, actually on both ends while he was talking, just to kind of wrap up everything anime here. There is like a stigma around anime that like, oh, Dragon Ball Z, it takes 10 episodes for them to power up. Like, I think a lot of people think it is very fillery and like it can be just long stretched out stuff. But I think we've proven in a couple different instances where we've been talking about them, like that's not always the case. There are some very dense, some very full episodes that have no filler. And like with Naruto, like you said, there's a reason that they're there and there's a way that you can skip them and not miss anything. So I think that's something that people have to shake about anime too, because that's something I definitely thought about going into, but it's not always the case.
Before we fully wrap up this episode, I will say that like I've enjoyed this conversation overall of cyberpunk and anime and all this stuff. Kyle Patterson over here, he's been a big pusher for anime in my life recently and definitely knows his stuff. KO over here has My Hero Academia, but also has the will and the yearning to get more into the anime world and all this stuff. So maybe this is like the jumping point of like maybe just getting into more of this stuff, you know. Maybe I'll watch season one of My Hero and we can all like come back on and talk about My Hero, or maybe I don't know, we'll dive into Naruto or something, or maybe just find a whole new anime altogether. Like I know the one anime that I started and I kind of wished I would have kept up with was Death Note. That was the season one was on Netflix for a while, and I watched season one and I loved everything that I saw in there. And just like the little bit of Death Note that I know going past that seemed very interesting and very fascinating to me. The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror last week actually did a Death Note sequence. And the cool thing about that was, this is kind of like a mini best off, I guess, but the cool thing about that was that segment of the episode that was the Death Note was animated by the original animators of Death Note, and they did it, the Simpsons, in that style. So all the Simpsons characters look like actual people, like actual anime people. They're not like the yellow cartoonized Simpson versions. Like they're animated real people, and it's basically these characters thrown into Death Note's world.
I saw those pictures. I thought it was fan art. Oh my God.
No, it's like 5 minutes. It's like 5 to 10 minutes of that episode. It's the last Treehouse of Horror. It's up on Hulu, so you can go back and watch it now. We did that over the weekend when we were getting into the Halloween mood. It's a lot of fun. I would recommend it, but maybe we jump into that. The main point I'm trying to make here is Kyle with a C, you're going to be back. We're going to do more anime stuff on the show. I'm sure KO here will appreciate that. That's one segment of his fandom that we haven't really touched on a whole lot here on the show. So I think he'll be really passionate about that, but I'm excited to maybe jump into that stuff and have more of these kinds of conversations. So I'm not kicking you off yet, 'cause we got to wrap this up, but Kyle with a C, you are definitely welcome back, especially when we do anime talks. And, yeah, we're going to do anime stuff in the future. I'm going to make that call right now. So we have Ben, your Midwesterners this week. That's MIDWESTERNERDS. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Midwestern Nerds. We are the Midwestern Nerds podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to send us an email, you can send that to MidwesternNerds@gmail.com. You can find and stream our podcast wherever you find and stream podcasts. Please remember to rate and review, share and subscribe, be kind, please rewind. All of these things help this podcast to continue to grow and improve and be the Midwestern Nerds podcast that you, the listener, want to listen to. For your Midwestern Nerds this week, I have been Brian Stoffel.
I've been KO Kyle Olson.
And thank you once again for joining us, our special guest this week,
Kyle with a C.
And whether it's beer, brats, comics, or dubs,
keep it nerdy.